I was going to get up here and tell you, and you just call me Brother Dud. But he's already told you. So somebody asked me what this initial means on my ring. It's a D, and that stands for Dimp, Dud, or Donkey, whichever one you want to call it, okay? You want to know about that donkey part, you ask my wife back there. She can tell you about that. Really good to be here.
Amen.
Man, it's a real blessing. I was just thinking just a moment ago, I thank God for you brethren, for this conference. That's one of the things that I guess that's what I miss more than anything else when I'm in Brazil, is a good, sweet fellowship with my brethren around the Word of God.
Amen.
We have a lot of fellowship with the brethren in Brazil, but we don't have this many preachers can get together at one time and have a conference like this, and we miss those things. I thank God for this message and for Brother Clark. He's a product of God's grace.
Amen.
And that's why I thank God for him. See, because he is what he is by God's grace.
Amen.
And that's certainly true with all of us. Well, I already had two messages. And Brother Ginn gave me two more. So we may be here all night. I don't know, Brother. I want to bring you, all of you, greetings from the Faith Baptist Church, Olhadaguas, San Luis de Maranhão, Brazil, South America. Our beloved brethren there always tell us, Brother Henderson, please don't forget to thank the brethren in the United States for sending us the gospel that we might be saved, and for supporting the work with their prayers and their offerings that we might carry the gospel to our Brazilian people. Hardly ever a prayer meeting goes by on Sunday night, but some brother in that prayer meeting will make mention in his prayer of the churches back here, the American brother that helps support our work, and we're so thankful for it. Glad to have some other missionaries here with us tonight. Brother Ed Kittle, Connie, been a great blessing to me in so many, many ways, to my wife and me. And Brother Tweed, who's getting ready to go to the mission field. Maybe some others we don't even know about yet, but God knows about them. I want to thank you folks for your prayers and your offerings and all that you've done to make our work possible. And I want to thank you for your prayers for my wife. And everybody can see how God blessed and heard and answered your prayers. We've not only been through a lot of health problems, we've been through a lot of other problems too. All kinds of problems. But God's so good, and His grace is sufficient. And He's brought us through them all. And my prayer to God is, and hers is too, that if it be God's will when He's through with us here, that He'll take us home together. I don't know of anything that I'd want more than that. Just go home to glory together. Just live out your life here, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, facing the trials and the heartaches and the discouragements, seeing God's marvelous grace work, and then when it's all over, just go home together. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, the book of 2 Samuel and chapter 14 and verse 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14. For we must needs die, and there is water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means whereby his banished be not expelled from him. May God add his blessing to this reading. And I want to talk to you this evening about God devised means. God devised means. The he here refers to God. He deviseth means whereby his banished be not expelled from him. I want you to notice first of all in the first part of this verse the condition that we see. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered again. Amen. You know, when I read this, I think of a little nursery rhyme that I learned many, many years ago, and all of you, I'm sure, know it by heart. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. Now, Humpty Dumpty was an egg, and a raw egg. And when he fell, he broke all to pieces. And many, many years later, I learned more vividly exactly what that little rhyme teaches. And there's a lot more truth in it than fiction. I was working in 1951 as a butcher at A&B Grocery Store in Mayfield, Kentucky. And we had the custom then of buying country eggs from folks that come in the country and bring eggs in to sell. And sometimes they'd bring in a case or two, and sometimes it'd just be a dozen or two. Now, I remember one lady, she'd come in every Saturday, just as regular as Saturday rolled around, and I'm sure that's the money she had to spend in town that Saturday once she got out of those eggs. Brother Clark knows what I'm talking about. And one Saturday she came in, and I guess she had probably two dozen eggs in that sack, in a paper sack, and she came around to the end of the counter like this, and there was a little swinging door there, and she came around to the end of that meat counter, and I walked up to wait on her, and she stuck that sack of eggs out over that swinging door, and just as I reached to get them, the whole bottom came out of that sack. I guess there's been an egg or two broken in the bottom of the sack and got it wet, and every last one of those eggs fell right in the middle of that sawdust on that concrete floor of that butcher shop and broke all to pieces and just ran out all in that sawdust. That woman looked at me, and she looked at that sack, and she looked at those eggs, and she looked up at me just as pitiful, and she said, "Isn't there some way you can get them up and use them?" And I'm going to tell you, brother, she meant that.
Amen.
That was all she had, I'm sure.
Amen.
And she had to go home without buying what she meant to buy that Saturday. And Brother Clark, I'd give anything in the world if I could reach down and got those eggs up and put them back together some way and put those shells back together and pay that woman for them.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I'm sorry, lady. There's nothing I can do but sweep some more sawdust over them and scoop them up and throw them away. Now, that's what God's talking about right here. Where is water spilled on the ground that cannot be gathered again. back in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, a man called Adam one day had a great fall, just like Humpty Dumpty. And that fall was so great that all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put him together again. He tried it himself. He made him aprons of fig leaves, but that wasn't acceptable to God. And not only that, but the book of Romans tells us in Romans 5 and 12 that when Adam fell, we fell in him.
Amen.
And our fall was just as great as Adam's fall.
Amen.
And we too became as water spilt upon the ground. Which no man can gather again. The fall was complete.
Amen.
It was total. It was terrible. And it was universal.
Amen.
The Bible teaches absolute total depravity.
Amen.
That a man is sinful from his innermost being to his outermost flesh. He's completely corrupted before God. And that all happened in Adam. The Bible said, as in Adam, all day. And we fell in him. And how great was that fall? As water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet, the Bible said, he deviseth means whereby he is banished, be not expelled from him. And so God that very day made a promise to that very couple that one day the seed of the woman would come and bruise the seed of the serpent. And that's the first Bible prophecy of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his redemptive work.
Amen.
And God taught Adam that when he justified that couple after they had sinned and after they had tried to gather themselves up and couldn't do it. God killed the animals and made them coats of skin.
Amen.
And covered their nakedness.
Amen, brother.
And then they could stand before God.
Amen. Amen.
And my Bible tells me that the gospel first began to be preached by the Lord.
Amen.
And I believe the first time he ever preached it was to Adam that very day.
Amen.
And Adam taught that truth to his son. And so the Bible said in Hebrews 11 chapter, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
Amen.
Because he offered a blood sacrifice. He understood that truth, that he could only get to God through blood, through a sacrifice. And so God devised means whereby his banished was not expelled from him. And like these brethren have said, God gave to Jesus Christ an eternity of people. And God had devised means whereby that people, though banished from him because of sin, shall not be expelled from heaven.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I like that answer Brother Bill Titus today. That question about who Christ died for. Well, he died for his elect.
Amen.
And he died for all who believe.
Amen.
Because all elect will believe, and all believers are elect.
Amen.
I mean, same group. It's the same number. And it's a number so vast that no man can count it.
Amen. Amen.
And God devised means whereby they would not be expelled. And so in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And He condemned sin. He judged sin in the flesh. The Bible said in Romans 8:1, there, therefore now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. The condemnation is gone.
Amen.
How? Through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Amen. For He paid my sin debt in full. He took my place. He became a substitute. He died in my stead. God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He never sinned. He went everywhere doing good. But there came a day when He made Himself to be sin for us. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, made Himself to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so our sins were imputed to Christ, and His righteousness is imputed to us. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son. And the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, that He made Himself of no reputation. But He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made like unto man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Like one brother's already preached, wicked men tormented Him from the time He was taken from that garden until He was nailed to that cross. And then for some hours they mocked at Him and jeered Him and gave Him vinegar when He said He was thirsty. And in every way they could, they continued to torment Him. That was His human outward suffering. But when the real suffering came was when God pulled a curtain around it all.
Amen.
And shut out the light of heaven.
Amen.
And God, as it were, turned His back on His own Son. And that pitiful wail came out of that darkness that would make a man's skin crawl and curdle his blood. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? The only time that Jesus Christ ever called Him God. Every other time it was my Father, my Father. But He couldn't call Him Father at that time because He took my place.
Amen.
And he became sin for me.
Amen.
And in that awful darkness, He suffered my hell and your hell and the hell of all of His elect.
Amen.
And so He delivered me from the pains of hell.
Amen.
From the fires of death. What a price.
Right.
What a price the Son of God paid for my redemption. A wretched, undone, no good sinner that didn't deserve anything but a burning hell forever. But He loved me with an everlasting love.
Amen.
And He proved His love. Here in His love.
Amen.
And God, that not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
Brother, that's real love, isn't it?
Right.
I remember a long time ago, I was preaching in a meeting at Ephesus, Kentucky. And I came back one night with a pastor, and we stopped at a little grocery store to buy some groceries. And while he was buying the groceries, while a man came in, I was standing there by the door, and I began to witness to him. And he's one of these smarty kind of fellows, you know. And he said, I said, ain't nothing to that. I said, Jesus Christ isn't doing more than anybody else would do. So while lots of people died, lots of these soldiers died over in the war for their country. So I think I'd be willing to die for somebody else. I said, well, let's see if you would. You have a family? And he said, sure. Have a wife and three children. I said, where are they right now? He said, they're at home waiting for me. I said, well, let's just suppose then that you left here right now and went home. And you walked in your living room and there you found your wife and three children in their own blood on the floor, dead and mutilated, and the killer still in the room. And the police take him to jail, and later he appears in court, and he's condemned to die in the electric chair, and he's on death row waiting for the date of his death. Would you die for him? Oh, no, he said, I wouldn't do that. I don't want to see him die. I said, that's the difference, friend. There's the difference right there. Amen. The Bible says that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us.
That's right.
Amen. There's the difference.
Amen, brother.
That he loved us, wretched, undone sinners, murderers, adulterers,
Amen.
Wicked men of all kinds, in the muck and mire of sin. Do you ever think about what kind of a place God sent his son to? The Bible said he sent him into the world. Do you ever try to imagine what kind of scene Jesus saw when the devil took him up on that hill and showed him all the kingdoms of the world at one time? I mean, putrefying, erupting sores, a world full of filth, degradation, depravity. Jesus looked out on that scene and saw a vast multitude of people that no man could number. And he said, I love them. I always have. And always will.
Yeah.
And I won't bow down to the devil. And I won't bow down to anything, anybody. I'm going to the cross.
Amen.
And I'm going to redeem them. And he did.
God. Amen.
And God devised means. And that's why you're here tonight. Yes, sir, I believe in election. I believe God elected
Amen.
People, but I believe also that he elected the means of their salvation.
Amen.
Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And the means that God has devised, whereby his enemies be not expelled from him, is through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what the gospel is. It's how that Christ died. I want you to listen to this, friend. There's more than you see on the surface. There's more than meets the eye.
Amen.
How that Christ died for our sin and was buried according to the scriptures. Now you study what the scriptures say about his death. You see how he died. And how that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Amen.
The Bible said in Romans chapter 4 in the last verse, he died for our sins and he rose again for our justification.
Amen.
And so we preach that glorious gospel all over this world. Here in Michigan, down in Kentucky, all over the United States, all over Brazil, all over South America, all over this world, there are men who love the truth, who love God, who believe this truth that I'm preaching you right now. And brother, they have given their life, their health, everything they have for the business of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a man is called to the ministry, he's received the greatest calling that could ever be given to anyone on this earth. His calling is even greater than the calling of the angels in heaven. He has the blessed privilege of telling others,
amen,
preaching the gospel. Simon Peter said, Lord, we have forsaken all to follow thee. And I'm sure there are men here tonight who are full-time pastors of Baptist churches and preaching the gospel, doing missionary work, who could be making 3 or 4 or 5 times as much following some profession, on some job. But they've forsaken all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we believe this. Paul forsook all. And he said, I'm ready to go to Rome also and preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. I mean, that was about the limits of the known world at that time. But he's ready to go there, anywhere, to preach the gospel. Because that's the means, you see, that God has devised.
Amen.
And it's the only means. You don't have any more.
Right.
You don't have any other means.
Amen.
You can get up all the gimmicks and all the modern ideas and all the social gospel that you want to, but it'll never save a soul. Not one.
Amen.
The only way sinners will ever be saved is the way God devised. And that's by the old-fashioned preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to tell you, sinner friend, if you're here tonight, that's the only way you'll ever be saved, is believing the gospel.
Amen.
You can try 1,000 other ways, but you'll be just as lost as you was before you ever started. You'll never be saved until you come to that truth that you're totally and helplessly and hopelessly lost, and the only one who can ever save you is God.
Amen.
You trust His Son as your Savior.
Amen.
And you'll be saved.
Amen, brother.
Where's water spilt? On the ground, which cannot be gathered again by any human means, by any human power. But I'm so glad that last part of that verse is there. Yet He deviseth means.
Amen.
Yet He deviseth means.
Amen.
And not only is that true in the matter of salvation, but you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they had hunted him like an animal. They had haunted him. They had devised every means they could to trick him, to catch him in his words. They had persecuted him from the time he was a babe. And finally one day, they caught him in Gethsemane. And they said, we've got you now. And they ran in that garden with their swords and their staves and their torches. And Jesus said, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus. He said, I'm He. And they fell backwards on the ground.
Amen.
They couldn't lay a hand on
them. Right.
They fell backwards on the ground.
Amen.
And they asked him again, said, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus. And He said, I am He. If I'm the one you seek, let these go. And He surrendered Himself into their hands that His disciples might go. And He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment received I of my Father. And so he yielded Himself into their hands. And as Simon Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, He being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye with wicked hand have slain and crucified. They were guilty of his murder, of his death, but he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And so he went through that agony all those hours with the heat of that sun beating upon his body, his lip parched, his body beaten and bruised, his joints aching from the weight of his body being nailed to that cross. And then darkness came, and that terrible wail came out of that darkness. And then 3 hours later, it's all over. And he raised his head in victory and said, "Father, it's finished. In thy hand I commit my spirit." And he yielded up the ghost. And they said, "He's dead. He's dead. We got him. He's dead. Take him down, bury him." And so they took him and prepared his body and laid him in a new tomb. And those Pharisees said, "Now listen, that guy, when he is living, said something about coming forth from the grave, being raised from the dead, and so we don't want anything like that to happen. We want some soldiers in that garden. We want a seal on that tomb, and we want some soldiers in that garden." And Pilate said, "Well, you have your soldiers. Take them, about 200 of them, I think." And so they went out there and rolled a great big stone to the mouth of that grave and sealed it and put those soldiers on guard there, and everybody went home and went to bed. Yeah. And so the first night passed, first day, second night, second day, and the third night, the third day, and everything's perfect, you know. Everything's just fine, and the soldiers are there, stone still in place, the seal still there. But you know what, friend? When he had completed 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb, sometime before daylight, while it was still dark, he got up. That's right, brother. He got up. And he walked right through that stone. And right through those soldiers, 200 of them, and not one of them said a word. And while it was still dark, why, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb first, you know, and then some other women came. And suddenly they were worrying about the stone. Who's going to roll the stone away? And suddenly there appeared an angel. He rolled the stone away and said, "Come on in. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He isn't here. He's risen, even as he said." See what the Pharisee said? "He said he's going to come out of the tomb, but he's not. We're going to keep him in there." But the angel said, "He's risen, even as he said. He's not here. He's gone." Amen. I believe that. Amen. That angel didn't roll that stone back to let Jesus out. Amen. He rolled that stone back to let folks in. That's right, they've been going in for almost 2,000 years. I mean, by the millions every year. And every time one walks in, there's that empty tomb to testify that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and we serve a living Savior.
Amen.
Oh, they fabricated a lie on him, you know, and all that, but he rose from the dead. There he was, dead. As water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered again. That's what his enemies thought. But see, God devised means. Jesus said, "This commandment I received from my Father. So I have power to lay my life down and have power to take it up again." Not only so, but You know, a lot of times a Christian gets his life in such a shape that it's just like water spilt on the ground. That's right. I mean, I've seen lots of folks that they're just ready to give up. I mean, preachers get in that shape sometimes. Don't you, Brother Hancock?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to quit. Ain't no need going on. I can't see the way out. But God deviseth means.
Amen. Amen.
Christians sometimes get life so messed up in the world. You know the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that a Christian's life should be a life of sacrifice. I mean, you can't serve God without sacrificing.
Amen.
It's a life of sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. But folks don't do that. They get themselves in trouble. They go to try to please the lust and desires of this old body and living more for this old body than they do for the Lord, and they get themselves in trouble. And they get in such a shape that they don't see any way out at all. No way. You know, the Bible said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that we're priests. And God made us priests to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto Him.
Amen.
One sacrifice that He speaks of is a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13 and 15. The sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to His name.
Amen.
But you know, folk get themselves in such shape they can't praise God. That's right. People come to a conference like this and go home, they can't praise God for it. That's right. They'll go to church and hear the preacher preach the word of God, but they can't praise God. They can't give thanks to God. They can't pray. You know, a priest's got to be dressed right. Offer up sacrifices. That's right.
Amen.
First, he's got to be dressed in the robe of righteousness, that white garment, you know.
Amen.
Then he's got to be dressed in his body like God commands him to be dressed. Yeah, I still believe Deuteronomy 22 and 5.
Amen.
I sure do. And I believe the New Testament teaches the same thing.
Amen.
Now, how in the world can a person dressed in a way that's an abomination to God get on their knees and offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to Him?
Amen.
They can't do it. They get themselves in such a shape trying to follow the molds and fashions of this world that they can't offer the sacrifice of God to them.
Amen.
They get cold and indifferent, and then they start blaming the preacher and the church, and they run off somewhere else, you know, and they never get any better.
Amen.
Because that's not the means God devised.
Amen.
God devised means. Whereby a Christian whose life is like water spilled upon the ground, a raw egg broken upon the ground, that he can be gathered again. His life can be put together again, and he can serve God.
Amen.
Look at the psalmist
Amen.
David.
Amen.
And what did he say in the 51st Psalm? What did he say in the 51st Psalm, verse 17? The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit.
Amen.
A broken and contrite heart the Lord will not despise.
Amen. Amen. Amen,
the Apostle John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
David said, Lord, if you'll just restore the joy of my salvation, then will I teach transgressors their ways, then will sinners be converted unto Thee. Look at Samson. I mean, he got in such a shape with his life, fooling around with Delilah, that he got his hair cut off. He lost his power with God and didn't know it. Till he tried to make his escape like he always had, and then he found out he didn't have any power with God. He got his eyes punched out. He got his hands bound. and they hooked him up to a mill in the prison house, and he was grinding there like an ox, like a beast of burden. But in that prison house, his hair began to grow. And his hair really in itself didn't have anything to do with his power. His power lay in the fact that he was a Nazarite under the vow to God. And one day, and not only that, but you know what? He became a clown, a court jester. And one day they're having a big feast in that temple there, false god. And somebody said, bring out Samson, let him make sport for us here. They brought him out, you know, to let him make act like a clown, a court jester for him. And Samson told the little boys, lead him, said, let me feel the pillars that this temple is resting on. Let me feel of them. And the little boy led him over there. He didn't know what he was going to do. Led him over there, and Samson put his hands on those pillars, and he bowed his head and said, oh, Lord, just this one. Just one more time. Oh, Lord. Give him a power that I may avenge myself of these Philistines because of my two eyes. And he flexed his muscles. And threw those columns down. And that temple fell. He knew it was going to cost him his life. But his greatest victory was in his death. He killed more Philistines, more of God's enemies in his death than he did in all of his life. You see, God devised means. He came to God with a broken and contrite heart. He said, oh God, forgive me just one more time.
Amen.
Give me back my power just one more time. Are you here tonight without power with God? Have you longed for those days when you had power and you could reach, as it were, and get the horn of the altar and bring heaven down?
Amen.
Well, God devised me where you're up back in heaven. It's not impossible.
Amen.
Look at Simon Peter. Denied his Lord three times. But when the cock crowed, he remembered the words of the Lord. And he looked, and the eyes of Jesus were fixed upon him.
Amen.
And he went out in the darkness that night, weeping bitterly with a broken and contrite spirit.
Amen.
And 50 days later, he stood before the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem and preached the message with such power and conviction.
Amen.
And 3,000 souls were saved that day.
Amen.
Somebody say, How many members you got? Yeah. Well, I got about 120, something like that. Well, you must not be preaching the truth. I heard a fellow say one time, talking about church got in an argument about what kind of robes the choir's going to use. He said, if you preach what I preach, you wouldn't have enough members to have a choir. Now, that's just a bunch of tomfoolery.
Amen, brother.
I want to tell you, friends, within a few months, the church, First Baptist Church in Jerusalem had a membership of over 10,000 members. And they didn't get it with puppets and gimmicks.
Amen.
They got it with the power of God.
Amen.
Because a man went out in the darkness of night. One night, weeping bitterly with his heart broken, realizing he had denied his Lord before a wicked world and got right with God.
Amen.
God devises means.
Amen, brother.
A number of years ago down in Brazil, where we started a mission, where we organized a church before I came home, there was a lady came to church one day and started attending services there. She was a member of the Second Baptist Church in town. But she realized she'd never been saved. She trusted the Lord as a Savior. Her husband was a drunkard. He too was a member of the Second Baptist Church there in town. And he worked every day, but as soon as he'd get off from work, he'd hit the bars from his house to home. By the time he'd get home, he'd be so drunk he couldn't hardly hit the ground with his hat. And he mistreated his wife, mistreated his kids, He started coming to church. A lot of times we'd have services in the front of a house somewhere, and here he'd come. You know, drunk he couldn't. He'd just be like this. You know, he'd stagger up. I could see him as many times. He'd lean up against the post of the gate coming in the house. And he'd lean there. He wouldn't give any trouble. He'd listen and just cry. I mean, just cry his eyes out. And I remember one night I took him home. Keep him going to the rest of those bars and drinking. I took him home and I preached to him all the way home. And I told him, I said, the Lord's going to put his hand on you so heavy some of these days. He's going to bring you down. If you're saved by God's grace, you can't keep on like this. And one day he came home and his children were gone. His wife was gone and everything they had was gone. As far as their clothing and all, it was gone. And she left words that I can't stand it any longer. I'm going back to my dad's. Brother, he got sober right there. I mean, he sobered up right there, and he got himself straightened up and went out in the interior where his wife had gone and went out there and told his wife he was sorry and got right with her and brought her and her children back and came to church and got right with God. And today, he's an evangelist of a mission we've got way out in the interior.
Amen.
I mean, he suffers. He's got a big family. He doesn't make very much, and sometimes they hardly have enough to get by on, and the work's hard there, but he stayed with it. And he never drank another drop. You see, God devises means. I want to tell you that the chasing hand of God can be heavy, friend. There's a lot of things worse than dying. A whole lot of things worse than dying. God can make it so miserable for you that you'll be willing to come back. Look at the prodigal. Started out in a big way. I mean, he was having a big time, boy. If he'd been living this time, he'd been driving a big Rolls Royce about 100 miles an hour down the highway, just having a whooping big time full of women and men, drinking, carousing. And one day, the fountain of that well dried up, and he found himself in the hog pen. And there in that hog pen, without a friend, without anything to eat, right down in the muck and mire with the hogs trying to eat what they're eating, he came to himself. He remembered his father's house. He said, how many hired servants in my father's house have food sufficient? And here I am starving to death in this kind of condition. And he said, I will arrive.
Amen.
Jesus that washed their feet, you see. And you have to bring your burdens to him. Bring your cares to him. Your life may seem tonight, there may be someone in this house, some Christian, whose life tonight may seem just exactly like this verse of Scripture, like water built on the ground that no man can gather. And maybe your daddy's tried, maybe your mother's tried, maybe your pastor's tried, maybe many others have tried, but no one's been able to do it. You're looking at the wrong place.
Amen.
Look to God.
Amen, brother.
Look to God.
Amen.
For he has devised means. And he'll cleanse you.
Amen.
If you'll just confess your sins, he's faithful and just to give you the sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. One other thought. One day, it's going to happen to us like it's happened to all others. Unless the Lord comes, we're going to die. How many of our brethren have already gone to glory, but they left a body here on this earth? And they took it out to a cemetery somewhere and buried it. And it's all corruption in the grave. And it's like water spilt on the ground that no man can gather again. I mean, we weep over them. We hold on to them. We kiss their cold bodies and all of that. But we still have to come to the same place to stand before that open grave and see them lowered in, grave covered. And if there's water spilled on the ground, that no man can gather again. Yet he hath devised means.
Amen.
He hath devised means.
God.
One day Jesus Christ stood before a tomb of a man whose sister said, "You can't take the stone away. He's been dead 4 days. He's already stinking. His body's already putrefying." And Jesus said not unto you, if you want to see the glory of God, just roll the stone away. And they rolled the stone away, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth.
Amen.
He didn't come forth dead.
Amen.
He came forth alive.
Right.
The word of Jesus has power to give life. And when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," he got up alive.
Amen.
When the Lord said to that man with the withered hand, "Stretch forth your hand," he gave him a whole hand and stretched forth.
Amen.
That's right. He didn't tell him to do something he couldn't do. He had a whole hand stretched forth when he told him to stretch it forth.
Amen.
That's the work of redemption, friend.
Amen.
That's the work of the Spirit in a man's heart to bring him to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God deviseth means. Somebody said if he hadn't said tall lads by name, the whole cemetery got up. And I imagine that's right. That's why the Bible said that Jesus knows his sheep by name.
Amen.
And one day he's coming in glory. And he's going to call them all at the same time and all by their name. I don't have the world to do that. I'd have to call one name at a time and they would get through. But he'll call them all at once and all by their name. And every last one of them will get up and no one else, not one other person. Every last one of those who are his will get up. Those bodies will be raised.
Amen.
And that soul that's in glory will be brought with Jesus. And he'll reunite that soul and body. So shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
He hath devised means.
Amen.
You know, when the when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, the whole creation came under the curse. The whole creation. Animal, mineral, vegetable, the whole creation came under the curse. And it's been a chaos ever since.
Right.
But you know, one day, God has devised means that one day it'll be restored. There won't be any more thorns and thistles.
Amen.
Isaiah 55, the last verse tells us that. There won't be any more thorns and thistles. The trees will clap their hands, the hills and mountains will sing. And the king shall come in glory.
Amen.
Set upon his father David's throne. And the wolf and the lamb shall lie down together. And the bear and the ox shall feed together. And the little child will put his hand in the cockatrice thing.
Amen.
And the weaned child shall play upon the adder's nest. And no harm shall come to them.
Amen.
No harm shall come to them in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And the knowledge of the Lord shall fill this earth as the water that covers the sea.
Amen.
Amen.
And everyone will say, "Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, worship the Lord." And they'll beat their plows in the, or their swords in the pruning hook. Their spears in the plowshares. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation ever again.
Amen.
We must die in hard water, built upon the ground. They cannot be given again. Yet he devises means.
Amen.
For by his vengeance that I fell again. May God bless the message.
All right. Amen. Amen. Amen.